From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello. We're back with the Wildcast. We went remote this time. We're over on campus. We just left university. We're hanging out at the student media. We're at Camp T. No, not Camp. We're at
Camp
UAT.
TV.
We're at UAT. I was at the Daily Wildcat. They're letting us use their facilities. Justin's here with me as usual on Friday. Maggie is not with us. She's back at the condo just hanging out. But my good friend Zach Clark is here. He was with us, with me, not with me when I adopted her, but he was there the day I got her.
That's right.
And Zach Clark of ESPN Tucson, thanks for joining us,
man. Thanks, guys. Always good to be here.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, we'll talk about some football in a little bit. Big game, obviously, tomorrow. But Pac-12 Media Day was yesterday. The big topic of conversation was, of course, all the allegations that are out there right now. Miller didn't say much.
Surprise.
But unrelated, you know, kind of unrelated. Today, NCAA came out after a 3.5-year-long investigation into academic fraud at North Carolina, and they were like, meh, you guys are fine, basically, is how I read that. And then on the flip side, there was a recruit who had committed to play at Ohio State. I mean, he was enrolled and everything, and he took part in a class, so he wanted to leave because Thad Matta's not there anymore. But they said, no, you have to sit out a year because you took a class, so he did what he's supposed to. But the moral of all this being that the NCAA has no idea what they're doing, and that doesn't necessarily connect to Arizona, but it just makes you realize that they're gonna bungle this somehow, right?
Well, I mean, does it make Arizona fans feel better or worse? I mean, on the flip side, I guess on the good side, if you're worried about things being revealed in an investigation, the NCAA clearly is not going to be able to find things. I mean, there were I saw a tweet today of a final paper written by a North Carolina football player. It was a paragraph. I mean, it was something that you would see in the eighth grade that was passable. But on the flip side of that, on the negative side, you think to yourself, you know, is this going to drag? Because you mentioned 3.5 years. I mean, that would put us into...
There's way more to sort through with this, probably, right?
Right. Oh, absolutely. 3.5 years from now is 2021, and that's a long time away. Is that specter going to be living from now until then or longer?
Mm-hmm. It's a couple more Elite Eights in the book for Sean Miller, right?
But 20-21. A couple more falling shorts.
But that's the thing. If they do come back and find something, does the banner come down? I think that's one of the things that concerns people the most here in Tucson. They want that Final Four so badly. It's been so long. And what if Arizona gets there and then 2 years from now...
They're like, no, you didn't go there.
Right. I mean, and that happens. I grew up in southeastern Michigan. They came to Ann Arbor and they took banners down. I mean, that happens. So... Yeah. It's worrisome. I get it.
And that's going to be so unfortunate for Arizona fans because we were talking about this off air. We were talking about Mark Titus's article from The Ringer. And talking we talk about 2001 and ever since then, that pretty much being the always coming up short for Arizona basketball.
16 years.
But even you can go back to the year after 97. Ever since the 1997 National Championship, it's just year after year.
Everybody came back the year after 97 and they blew it.
And they lost
in the Elite Eight that year.
And a lot of times before 97, too. I mean, Lou was the one who couldn't win it.
Yeah.
So it's just this Arizona basketball program has put fans through so much excitement and disappointment. And if this is the dream team that everybody sees it happening, because, I mean, I was one of those guys that I was like, man. I grew up in Tucson. And when I heard Lute Olson say, I went down to practice one Saturday and I saw that team that Sean Miller had, and he said that's the most talented, most athletic group he's ever seen in Arizona, and that speaks volume.
And that's still true. That's one of the other things that looms intermixed with this whole scandal, is that while there's all kinds of doubt and there's a lot of things that are unknown, what we do know, even without Raleigh Alkins, this is one of the most talented teams Arizona's ever had. And I think that's what makes things hard for people to balance, is that on one hand, you're like, oh, man, this is so great. Everybody's so good. They're so deep. But on the other hand, you're like, well, I don't know how this ends.
Is this season going to matter?
Right.
Well, that's the amazing – you know, last year they had a guy unlike one they've ever had before in Lauri Markkanen. To the extreme now, you see that with DeAndre Ayton. Yeah. Like, beyond the Raleigh Alkins injury, like, the hype train would be, like, in full steam ahead right now with DeAndre Ayton, because this dude's being talked about as the number one overall pick before he ever played a game. Like, Derek Williams started getting talked about that after he burst onto the scene randomly. This is a dude before he steps on campus. They're like, that dude, this draft is so talented at the top that any other draft he'd be like the lock to be number one. But right. that it's just like he's gonna be fun to watch, but it's always gonna be laced with like, well, what's gonna happen? And then we're gonna go into the press conference and they're not gonna tell us anything. Just like Bruce dealt with that Pac-12 media day yesterday.
And that's what I'm talking about is, or what you guys said is this gonna drag on? Is this gonna be? I mean, it's the FBI investigation. It's completely different for NCAA. So could this be a 5-year investigation? Could this be a 3? But if it gets to that point. And then they just strip it away from Arizona, that whole dream season, all the recruits that came in, Alonzo Trier and Raleigh Alkins coming back. It's just a wasted season. And it's unfortunate for Arizona basketball.
I mean, the scariest part is already happening for the future seasons. Like, even if they win the title next year, like, they lost out on recruits that they probably were going to get. They probably were going to get one of Bol Bol, the Chitou, the guy from Canada. There was another, and RJ Barrett, they're going to be in the running for at least.
May
and
I like, throw out Nasir Little's name.
And Nasir Little, he's coming here. Like he decommitted even though he never technically committed. Like that was that whole weird Twitter thing. But like Sean Miller's bread and butter, even if they were falling short, was that next year's team was better. Like he always had that. So if they lose that, I know Sharif O'Neal's coming for red and blue game this week, and he's been pretty vocally committed. But like, if sanctions come down, like he could very easily change his mind. And there's been, you know, rumors that he wants to go to Kentucky. Like, Shaq, his dad is well versed in how these things work. You think, and he's smart, and he wants his kid going to the right place. So I honestly would not be surprised at all if Sharif O'Neal is not even a part of this recruiting class next year.
And he's been one of the more staunch I'm in guys. But, yeah, I mean, certainly he comes in with a certain acumen, a background in his dad being one of the greatest NBA players of all time that gives him, I don't want to say leverage, but that gives him an insight that many others probably wouldn't have. And plus, you know, a lot of times, I don't want to generalize college athletes, but a lot of these kids come from somewhat tough backgrounds where they put a lot on their careers as far as not being able to support them, being able to support their family. And obviously, I mean, Sharif could sit outside for the rest of his life and money would not be an issue. So, there's a lot that goes into him that's different.
And you also got to think the AAU mentality all these kids have.
Yeah.
So for instance, he played with Bol Bol in the AAU circuit this past summer. So these kids all want to play on the same team as their friends. And that's why a lot of people thought Bol Bol was going to come to Arizona because Sharif O'Neal was
And Ira Lee's already here. Yeah.
Exactly. I think they played together too. You have all these guys that have played on the same team together, and if sanctions come down and Sharif O'Neal decides to back out and go to Kentucky, Bol Bol's two schools are pretty much coming down between Kentucky and Oregon. So there's your answer right there.
Yeah. When we talk about the red and blue game being on Friday, I don't want to say there's not. There really is an excitement for this game. Just kind of like, okay, it's here now, and we still don't know anything. I'm mostly curious, and I talked about this on your show, Zach, and on this podcast. I think it's going to be important that Miller comes out and says something to the crowd, to the effect of, I know he can't like say any. He can't say anything, but he has to say something. Like,
yeah, I don't know how. I don't know how
he approached that, but you have to address the fans, Braveheart. Man.
Well, I mean, I mean, that's one thing, Zach. As we talk about things that have happened in the past, that is part of the Red Blue game. Is that he takes the microphone,
exactly,
talks to the crowd, talks about how great his program is, and then he reminds people
we're going to win the title this year.
But he also reminds them, as a good salesman should, how important they are in the process. And I mean, you guys both covered the team. When they win at home, when he walks into the press conference, it is always the first thing out of his mouth.
He always says, great crowd.
And he says it first, and he's very savvy. He knows what he's doing. And he was asked a question at media day about the Tucson community. And
he still gave it like a general answer to me.
But
like,
I don't know
how much more you can say.
But that's the thing. Well, plus, if you're looking for like emotion that doesn't encompass basketball from Sean, you're not going to get it.
You're looking in the wrong place.
Yeah, you are.
Get Lorenzo Romo out there.
But here's the thing, though. What I have gathered just from being out and about is that I don't think the community support is wavering. That he's not on thin ice with the community at large. Things have changed. I mean, you saw the Hughes Federal Credit Union switch. I mean, there's been some subtle things, but I think for the most part, the community still is fervently and vehemently behind him. And if he leaves them hanging, I wonder how that will be taken. But I mean, what do you want him to say? Yeah. Because does he come out and say, "Well, guys, this sucks. I'm sorry, but we'll work through it"? I mean, can he even say those things?
That's the thing. I don't know what he can say. Yeah.
I mean, does he walk out and say, "You know"?
I can't say, but you know.
Right, and then walks away. So I'll be very interested to see. And Sean is very calculated. He's very put together. I'll be very curious to see how he orchestrates that moment. Because everything that Arizona does is planned. It's orchestrated. He has a blueprint.
Which kind of goes back into the whole there's no way he didn't know anything thing. But, I mean, saying, that's a discussion that we've, there's a discussion that we've been having for a while. So, but I think that's a good spot to jump off and switch gears a little bit. I did call out to Michael earlier this morning. You'll have my chat with him coming in after this. But I think we should talk about a little bit of football. Really, for the first time, probably since the last time UCLA was in town, this is the most excitement I can remember going into a football game. Like it's kind of I don't remember this feeling. Like it's going into
the U of A, any game, any or U of A, just a
home game? Any U of A football game in general. What road game was more exciting?
What was the last most hyped Arizona football game? College game day with UCLA.
You can look at that as the point where everything kind of started falling apart. Scooby came back too early, got re-injured. Anu Salman was getting into his, getting hurt every week. They got beat by a lot, you know. And then since then, they've won two Pac-12 games, right? Colorado and ASU.
Because they didn't win any after. They win none after that. And then
they won. ASU was the only one, and then they lost to Utah this year.
Which is crazy. So I mean,
they won two Pac-12 games in the last.
Utah. Utah. I thought that crazy.
They lost to Utah last year. No, they beat Utah the year before. 2 years ago. Oh, you're right. So that was later that year. So they won three.
But I mean, that's crazy. The point being, that's 2 years ago, and one of those wins came this season.
And we're like pulling at straws to figure out what game they.
No, it's this one.
So it just says a lot about. I mean,
it's a good thing.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. But yeah, I mean, I'm just. We've been saying this all week. If the crowd doesn't show up for this game, then they're not showing up, and that's going to be a factor in maybe even. I know we a few of us were arguing earlier about whether or not this game will dictate Rich Rod's job security, but I think the crowd will go into it at least. Like, interest in the town is important.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're Dave Hickey, I think people make the mistake. I don't want to say a mistake, but it's you're not looking at the entire picture. If you just look at the wins and losses, if you're Dave Hickey, you've got a lot to evaluate. Obviously, this team is in a. Mired in a somewhat of a rough patch, or at least a lull. You want to see signs that you're pulling out of it. Like, even if you don't have ultimate success in this season, do I have reason to believe that going forward you will have it? And if I don't, Arizona, Greg Hansen pointed this out. I think they've had their first three home games were three most poorly attended games
since 2002 or something.
In like a decade or 15 years. So I mean, you're already 0-3, and you're 1-2 at home. But
that's the point I said from the beginning of the season. It's not a win total. There's not a certain number that he has to get to. It's how they look when they go about having their record and the interest in the town and the recruiting, which I think people are overlooking. The class looks bad as of right now. If you consider it's an early signing period, it's really not early. If as Rich Rod has been saying, that's the signing period everybody's pointing to. Like, this class is kind of alarming. So that's why they need to go get some momentum. If they can beat UCLA, this is a game that guys in Southern California are going to watch. Yeah. Phil Tate is popular in that area. I think I'm going to write about that. I think I want to write about that next week. Like, when you have a guy from that area who's popular in the area, who's great in high school, he goes to a school like Arizona instead of staying home or going to an elite program, and he does well there. Like, kids will see that and be like,
"I want to be like that
too.
I'll
visit Arizona at least." And if you can get a guy on campus here. Like, this is a fun campus to be at. So.
And quickly, what Rich says all the time is, if we can get kids here, we'll get them.
I think that's been less true over the last year, but you're right.
I'm not backing him up. Those are his words.
But I mean, so no matter
that should help with that.
Exactly. I mean, this, especially now, he can point to the indoor practice facility, and they're going to upgrade the stadium. So there's something that you can point to at least.
Can't point to it yet.
I mean, true.
It's going to be over there.
What all comes down to, one of the most highly sought tight ends of all time, Rob Gronkowski. What did he say? He didn't even come to Arizona for football.
Isn't that what he said?
Pool parties.
Yeah, exactly. Not even
star
football.
Yo soy fiesta.
Right. So, I mean, you come down, you see the environment. I'm
baptized at a star pass pool party.
Yeah.
Come
on. Yeah, you didn't go to U of A if you didn't go to a star pass pool party.
Yeah.
But recruiting class, I think, shouldn't really. I mean, it should be a focus, of course, with any program.
I think it's a factor.
But you look at, I mean, the defense. Look at all the young talent that they have, and that they can continue to build off of it. And if, say, we have this conversation a couple games from now, and Khalil Tate has a couple more wins, Rich Rodriguez has a quarterback of the future. You have the great running backs. I mean, maybe the offensive line could use a little bit of improvement. The receivers need a lot of improvement, but. Say you, in this upcoming recruiting class, you get a 4-star receiver, and you start to see little bits of improvements from the young guys. I mean, if you're Dave Hickey, even if they go 5-7 and just miss out on a bowl
game. And
that's
why it's not a number.
I think.
That's why it's not a number.
Well, my only point with the recruiting was that's just like another factor. So if they're bad, there's no interest and the recruiting class looks that bad, then he's gone. But if,
I can check boxes.
If one of those things was different, like if not, I mean, besides the bad thing, if they're bad and they have a good crowds and there's interest in the team, then maybe it saves them. Or on the flip side, if they're bad and they have a great recruiting class, then it saves them. Like, you just look at Lorenzo Romar at Washington. That's added 3 years onto his lifespan, probably. It didn't save him at the end. He's still in a great class.
Well, I was going to say, he had Michael Porter Jr., and it didn't save him. I think when we talk about the win total and what it does, I think that it makes everything else okay. That if you win seven games, maybe I won't look at the recruiting as much. Maybe I'm not as worried about the attendance. They're always worried about both of those things. But if you say, well, we've been to a bowl game, and we've been to, you know, if they were to go to a bowl game this year, it'd be what? Five out of six.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
So I mean, that's not
for Arizona.
Well, that's the thing.
All the bowl games besides one of them.
People need to start adjusting their expectations for Arizona football in reality.
Why? Why do we have to scale them down? That's my question. Yeah. Is where did we get these expectations?
Yeah.
Where did you find these? Is there some room that I've never seen here that has unrealistic expectations in them? I've been here for a decade. I'm not a local. I'm not a lifer. But like,
that's why it's funny. It's like Sean Miller can do no wrong. He has all these things clouding him, he can do no wrong, but Rich Rod can do no right at the same time. So,
well, Rich is used to that. That was the same way from Michigan.
It was worse at Michigan. I'm sure this is like nothing.
Paycheck was better, though.
Well, there's actual expectations at Michigan.
That's correct.
There's no expectations here.
Yeah.
Let's just face it.
Especially outside of Tucson, like, especially outside of the city you're in. But, I mean, Michael and I talk about predictions and stuff, but what are you guys both thinking for this game? How do you think it goes? What do you think's the key? Like, what are you thinking?
You know, I think Arizona's going to win this game. And here's why. Am I going to be surprised if they lose? No. But I'm never going to have faith in a Jim Mora-led UCLA team. I can't do it. I respect Josh Rosen and his abilities, and I think he's going to have a great day. But I also think Khalil Tate's going to have a good day. The defenses are a coin flip. And if Arizona can get some pressure, they don't have to stop Josh Rosen, but if they can just get in between him and ultimate success, they can win a close one. Maybe it's 45-42 like it was last week. Maybe it's 42-37. I don't know, but I think Arizona wins. I think it's close, and maybe it comes down to somebody earlier mentioned Pac-12 After Dark. Maybe get something nice at the end. Not a Hail Mary necessarily, but along those lines.
More traditional Hail Mary instead.
Well, there's no Austin Hill. So,
I was telling these guys on the Monday podcast that, I mean, of course, the defense, like you said, Zach, is going to be a coin flip. Mm-hmm. But one particular player I'm looking for on the defense side of the ball is Demetrius Flanagan Fouls.
Yeah, we've talked about that
You've never really seen him have a great game so far this year. But in the first four games,
he had three picks.
Had three picks and a fumble recovery.
Yeah, one of them was a negative.
So he knows. And so he knows how to make plays when it matters most.
Absolutely.
So maybe there comes a time where it's, UCLA is down by four, and there's a third and eight where Demetrius Flanagan Fouls is able to create a play and make a turnover and give Arizona the win. So I'm looking for him to have a big game, but also Khalil Tate, how is he going to bounce back from an FBS record-breaking
game?
Follow
it up. How's he going to follow it up?
How is he going to follow it up? And if he can do that at home against, I almost wanted to say a decent UCLA team. I don't know where this UCLA team is at right now.
I mean, they're decent because of their recruits.
And they have the talent.
They have the talent to be at least decent at a minimum.
They're better than Colorado. Let's put it that point.
Yeah.
If he can do, I'm not saying break his record, but if he can actually have a similar game where he gets maybe 140 rushing yards or close to 200 rushing yards and maybe 150 passing yards, that's a great game for Khalil. So.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, all right. We'll wrap this up real quick. A few Twitter mailbag questions. There's not as many as usual this week. I'll have you guys help me answer them. They're all football related, it looks like, actually. As always, you can send it to me at hashtag AskBlatt or just tweet it directly at me, and we'll do that next Friday again. I'm sure it'll be another crazy week, as it always is. Never a dull moment in Tucson. All right. We got at DTeyes222 asked, Khalil and a 6 p.m. kick are supposed to help attendance, but really, really help that much? And what will it take for Tucson to show up? We pretty much covered that. If they win this game, then you have some excitement going forward, too, and they should, if not have, as good of crowds as they're going to have on Saturday, you'd think at least, it is Oregon State 2 weeks from now, which isn't ideal, but there's no excuse to not get at least 45,000.
I still think the crowd's light on Saturday.
So
I do.
You did? Yep. So, what's your, if I put the over-under at, 47, what do you got?
Under.
You got under?
Not by much.
40, so around there, you think?
40, 45, what's max, 57?
Yeah, 56. That's 57.
I'm
10,000 under. Yeah. They'll announce something higher, I guarantee it, but.
And we'll see, the Zona Zoo has especially no excuse, Like, the Zona Zoo's got to show up. I mean, I know they need to shorten the Zona Zoo. That's another topic for another day, but it's too big. I guess the question would be then if Tucson would fill it up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's a risky proposition.
When Stoops was there, as long as you did fill up, though.
When I was a student, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
2009, 2011, but they had, like, Nick Foles and stuff. But, yeah, anyway. At that Frank fellow asked, you say rush defense is the second worst in the nation. What are the odds? Tate breaks the record, he just said last week. If he did that, you'd have like 700 rushing yards in 2 weeks.
If he does that, you can fire Rich Rodriguez right now because he was leaving the kid on the bench that was just unbelievably incredible. Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if he got 200, honestly.
No.
Just because of the way he runs and he gets yards in chunks.
Yeah.
All right, and then we got at R. Bowron, 1856. He said, please tell me how the Bradford and Young situations are so different. He's talking about Orlando Bradford and Scotty Young.
They're not.
And he said Rodriguez is having a Chris Rainey moment while fans shrug.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he never explained to us how it was different. We've seen the police reports. As you've said many times, Zach, if it's a zero tolerance, like, you lied. Like, that's not true.
Yeah, I mean, he did lie, but I mean, I don't think he intended to lie originally when he said it. They have a policy that fluctuates on tolerance. It doesn't, sometimes it's zero. We saw it with Orlando. It was zero, but it's not an across-the-board zero tolerance policy.
Yeah.
I can't explain why.
He's been playing he hasn't missed a practice.
While his lawyer was in court at a hearing for him.
Yeah.
They were practicing at the same time that happened.
Like we said, we won't get into legal weeds here, but if you're just going out based off what Rich has said in the past, like,
correct,
he's going against his word in our eyes. Correct. But anyway, and our last questions come from @P_McGlore. We got our first celebrity. Tweet.
Is he asking about Doc McStuffins? He and I both have kids the same age.
I think he said he's going to be at the game tomorrow, yes! Actually. But Doc McStuffins, I mean, not Paul McGlore.
Oh, well, I like her too.
I didn't know it was a girl. I've never seen that.
Oh, yeah, no, good show.
Good show. If you're the AD of Zona, what does a win Saturday mean to you? It means a lot. It might even save Rich's job. I mean, it's not that simple, obviously. Like, things should, the wheels could come off the rest of the way, in theory.
But it shifts the focus.
Yeah.
You're focused on, we're 4-2. We're 2-1 in the conference. We're ahead of where we thought we would be. It puts everything in a, I mean, if we're talking about, like, you know, framing things in light, like, you get a rosy colored frame if they win. If they lose, you get that kind of like Eeyore gray cloud, just not good.
It all depends on how they lose too. I mean,
I agree with that.
Yeah, if they got killed, yeah.
Yeah, if it was another UCLA 2 years ago, yeah, that's a different story. But say it comes down to a game like Houston or Utah where they were just a couple plays away from possibly winning it. I mean, we could be sitting here talking about an Arizona team that could be undefeated right now.
And that's the question with Dave Hickey when what he really looks at. Is it momentum? Is it actual wins and losses? And I think that's where things get really interesting. The closer they are to 500, the weirder things get.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll close this thing out there. We're going to call out to Michael in a second. I talked to him earlier this morning. We had a little conversation about the game, previewed it as always. I'll throw in an interview I had with Kylan Wilborn earlier this week. Talked a little bit about playing Khalil Tate in high school and how everything he saw last week didn't surprise him. It's a good interview. He's a good kid. And, thanks for coming out, Zach. We appreciate having you on.
A little big fan of the pod. Great to be here.
As always, download the Wildcaster app. It's free, and you can get all of our content on there. Yeah, so we'll call it to Michael. All right, we got Michael on the other line, as always, to check in and preview the UCLA game. I think it's been since 2011, since Arizona last beat UCLA. Rich Rod's 0-5, looking for his first win. Mike, what were you up to in 2011?
Yeah, I was working at the Orange County Register at that time and covering USC, and that was the height of the Lane Kiffin era. Kind of never a dull moment when Lane is your head coach, you know. You never know what he's going to say or what he's going to do. I think maybe the most infamous thing he ever did was, at least as it related to us, was he walked out of a post-practice interview after like 30 seconds because someone asked a semi-injury-related question, which was a very sensitive topic for Wayne at that time. And now, you know, as I'm sure everyone knows, he's at Florida Atlantic, which is, you know, kind of like out of sight, out of mind, except he does these weird videos from time to time. He's like this super effective internet troll.
I mean, he's hilarious.
He's Lane being Lane. Yeah, he is hilarious.
The one where he made fun of Nick Saban, who was his boss recently, was pretty funny.
Right, yeah. And, you know, and a lot of people think that, you know, he's pretty much out and out fired Lane, so that was kind of a shot across the bow with the whole the rat poison reference. But he's just, I don't know, he's just so good at it. He's like he was born to be some sort of an internet troll slash football coach.
Doesn't it feel like he's going to wind up back in the Pac-12 somehow? I don't know how far away from now, but doesn't it feel like that's coming?
I can see it down the road. Yeah. For sure. He's a good coach. You know, you can say what you will about his personality, his
good recruiter,
et cetera, but he knows that he's a very good recruiter, and he knows how to dial up plays on offense. So if you can do those two things, you can land yourself a Power 5 coaching gig.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I guess back to Arizona stuff, as fun as it is to talk about Lane Kiffin. But I mean, you mentioned this on Twitter. The game opened with Arizona 2-point favorite. Clearly, everybody started betting on UCLA because now UCLA is a 2-point favorite, right?
That is correct. It's a pretty big line movement.
Yeah.
4 points. The over-under also started out at like 79.5, and I think it went down about 3 notches to 76.5. That's still a really big number, but I feel like no one would be surprised if it went over based on the way last week's game went, number one. And number two, when you look at UCLA, I mean, their defense just hasn't been very good.
Yeah.
They've been involved in a lot of shootout-type games. They have a great quarterback in Josh Rosen who's going to be really difficult to stop. It looks like, you know, Arizona might have a really good quarterback, too, in Khalil Tate. And Colorado was just powerless to stop them. So I don't know. I feel like for whatever reason, after a few kind of relatively low-scoring games that were kind of going back into the shootout era that, you know, it's kind of Rich Rod's calling card, you know, like a lot of those games back in 2014 were of this nature also, back and forth, not decided until the last minute, which is very exciting. Product for the fans and for the TV audience, not necessarily easy for us writers, though, in the press box.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you probably feel like this is going to be a high-scoring game, though, right? I kind of feel like it will.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I haven't really been going into a lot of these games feeling that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, you were talking to Rod Smith earlier this week, right?
Yeah.
He was talking about how there was a couple times when Khalil would, you know, miss a read or something would happen. And we thought, you know, like that one weird play where he kind of like pump faked and then ran up the middle.
Yeah.
And Rod's point was that even on the plays that he maybe messed up, he would somehow turn them into touchdowns. So you're talking about an extraordinary athlete here who, you know, made other really good athletes look helpless. And on the other side of the ball, you're talking about a guy who might be the first pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Next year. I mean, say what you will about Sam Darnold. He's been struggling with a slightly lesser supporting cast. I feel like a little bit of the shine has kind of come off of Sam. Whether that's fair or not is, you know, another story for another podcast. We can talk about that in a few weeks when Arizona faces USC.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Rosen is absolutely had a major bounce-back season. He's on pace to throw for more than 5,000 yards, 40 touchdowns, just lost his really good tight end in Caleb Wilson. I'm not even sure it's going to matter because he's really smart. He's got a gun for an arm. He's tough, hangs in the pocket. It's going to be, as Richard put it, the biggest challenge to date for sure for Arizona's defense.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like every week we talk about how the game we're about to talk about could, like, swing the season in either direction. And then it seems like something crazy happens each week where we readjust and say that again the next week. You know, it was like the Houston game at first was, but, you know, they played well enough to win that game, they just made a few too many mistakes. Then UTEP, they destroyed. That game didn't really matter much. And then they go to Utah, and they only lose by 6 despite turning the ball over 5 times. So we're like, all right, if they just fix the quarterback position. And then last week, Khalil Tate comes in, and it's like, who knows what they can do. I guess, do you get the feeling that we're at that point again where, like, this game is a swing game or whatever you want to call it?
I feel like the possibility exists for a watershed moment for the program here. You know, I feel like they're possibly on the verge of a real breakthrough if they can win this game.
Yeah.
The mini breakthrough happened at Colorado, and it's like, there's this whole new sense of hype and excitement, positivity among the fan base, and everyone is you know, they're just really looking forward to seeing what Khalil Tate can do. You know, I feel bad for Brandon Dawkins in a way that his, you know, his run might have ended because of a fluke injury. Yeah. And in kind of looking at the two of those guys, like, what's the difference, right? I mean, we can talk about all the X's and O's type stuff, but what it boils down to for me is, you know, people think, and I'm maybe in that group too, that Brandon might have peaked. You know, that we might have seen his plateau as a quarterback. With Khalil, what's the, you know, the ceiling is not the roof here, Zach. I mean, you know, right? I mean, who knows how good, if he's that good, like, in his first, you know, real game, who knows how good he could be, right?
Yeah.
When he, like, really figures out what he's doing. So I feel like that is just that performance, for whatever reason, has just changed the entire outlook for the program. Now, can they follow up with a win? Because we have been in this situation before with this Arizona program. A couple years ago against UCLA, it was very similar, right?
Yeah.
All that hype, game day was here, and they just fell flat on their faces. So,
and then the season kind of went sideways a little bit after that, yeah.
It did. I mean, would a close loss be good enough if they were really competitive against the UCLA team, or do you feel like that would just put things back to Rich Rod being on the hot seat and everybody being upset again?
Well, I feel like it's so well known around here, at least. Maybe UCLA doesn't even acknowledge Arizona, I don't know, but like around here, everybody knows that they have not beaten UCLA 0-5. They haven't even looked particularly good in almost any of those games. There were a couple that they had a chance in, but they kind of messed up. I just think for the sake of the fan base, if nothing else, they need to win this game. For the sake of Rich Rod's job, I think he needs to keep it close. Maybe he doesn't need, I mean, a win might save him, honestly, but if they keep it close and then they play well the rest of the season, there's still three winnable games on the schedule. I think you have Cal on the road, which won't be easy, but you have them, then you have Oregon State, which is kind of a mess, and Arizona State's always a toss-up. So there's three games you can look at and say they're wins. So they can still bounce back from a loss, I think, but I don't know if they can bounce back if they're killed again. So I think the way this game goes is going to dictate a lot whether they win or lose it.
Yeah, I think that you're right in the sense that they have to be competitive at the very least.
Yeah.
You know, if this game is a blowout, I think that all the air comes out of the sails, all the positivity from
last week,
Khalil's performance in the win at Colorado, it just gets wiped away. But if they're at the very least, they're trading blows with UCLA and they just happen to lose to, you know, a Heisman-caliber quarterback in Josh Rosen at the end of the game, say, hey, you know what? We're making progress. We're right there with a really good team and a really good quarterback. If they win the game, and now they're 4-2, I mean, I think Rich Rod's back next year for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that opens up a world of possibilities. I mean, you're looking at a potential, like, you know, 3-game winning streak.
Yeah.
If you beat Cal next week, I mean, can you imagine?
I mean, I was going to say, I mean,
like, bad as things were last year.
Yeah. I mean, you and I were texting about this yesterday, like, the kind of extremes that can come out of this game is kind of insane. But, like, just the idea that the South is so, like, in flux this year, I feel like, behind USC, who's clearly the best team in the South. Like, Arizona could fight for second place in the division, which is not something – we were debating whether they would get to 5 or 6 wins before the year. And now, if they win this week, we're going to be like, wait, can they win 7, 8, or 9? Like, it's very crazy, especially with Khalil Tate at the helm. He kind of throws a wrinkle into everything, obviously.
He does, for sure. Man, it was so fun to watch him.
Yeah.
Last week, both live and rewatching the game on TV. And I really hope, I feel this way about this game, but I hope that, like, the city of Tucson and the students show up for this game and that, like, this feels like a real big-time atmosphere, which it's something that we really haven't experienced the last couple years at home very much, if at all.
Yeah, not since you've been here.
Not since that UCLA game, but, you know.
Yeah.
Which is, like, feels like probably a million years ago at this point. But I think that can work to their advantage, too. It did back in the day, right?
What's that?
Having a crowd.
Oh, know, yeah, yeah.
Having a real crowd and having noise. And
yeah, yeah. I mean,
making it difficult for the other team.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, when the crowd in Arizona is there, it's a good crowd. Like, they're loud and they're active the entire game. But, like, if there's like no excuses to not go to this game. On top of being family weekend, which always is usually Arizona's, like, highest attended game anyway, Then you have a UCLA team in town. It's a big name. You have a big name quarterback on the other side. You have Khalil Tate, who's nationally relevant right now, and Arizona coming off a win. Like, there's just like no scenario where the fans have excuse not be. So if they don't show up, that just means that Rich Rod has lost the town, and that won't be a good look either. But everything can change if they beat them, obviously. But yeah, if they don't have a crowd on Saturday, that's gonna be pretty disappointing.
I'll add two more things. It's a 6 o'clock start as opposed to like a 7:30 or 8 o'clock or whatever. So very reasonable starting time. And the weather's gotten a lot nicer too. So you're not gonna bake. You're not gonna be hot out there either. The sun will go down. The whole stadium should be in shade right around kickoff. So, yeah, I don't know. I haven't felt this way about an Arizona game since I've been on the beat, Jack. Like, I feel like a genuine sense of excitement, like, wow, this is kind of a big deal, which, of course, was, you know, a pretty regular feeling at USC, but that's, you know, that's a whole different level of college football.
I mean, like you said, the last time it was like this was the last time UCLA was here. Like, they were 3-0, although I don't think they played anybody very good in non-conference play, but Scooby Wright was coming back, as we found out later on in the year, that he rushed back, which didn't help, and then things just, like, the handle got blown off, and Anu Solomon had a bad game, and I think they played, like, three quarterbacks that game and got beat by, like, 20-plus points. So it kind of took the wind out of the sails, and then everything kind of went downhill from there, if you think about it. But yeah.
You could argue that they haven't been the same since.
Yeah. I mean, that was the most they haven't had a crowd, attention, positivity since that they did that game since. So it's this week it's going to be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, I guess we can go to prediction. I mean, first, I guess, how do you see this game going, and then what do you think the score is?
Yeah, it was a tough call figuring out who's going to win. Definitely feels like a pick'em type of game. As we mentioned earlier, the line has swung from, you know, Arizona -2 to Arizona +2. I thought about going with UCLA for a couple reasons. I mean, Rosen being the primary one, but also they were coming off a bye week. And, you know, they spent the bulk of their bye working on their defense, which is really bad this season. I mean, they're next to last in the country in run defense, which, you know, for a team, I know they've had a lot of injuries, but for a team with that much talent, and an NFL pedigree coach in Jim Moore to be that bad on run defense is shocking.
Yeah.
But you know they've spent the last 2 weeks preparing for a mobile quarterback, whether it's Khalil or Brandon Dawkins. So they're going to be kind of ready for him. So those are the reasons I was thinking about UCLA. And then flipping over to Arizona, I mean, I just view it as, you know, this is their opportunity. I think they're very determined and motivated to prove themselves, you know, to try to put Arizona football back on the map. And I just think Khalil is such an X factor, you know, like his ability to just get away from people, to make something out of nothing, to turn short games into long games. I mean, I think he's going to have some struggles in this game. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he threw an interception or fumbled the ball or whatever, but I don't know, he seems to have a good makeup to bounce back from those. I know you talked to his high school coach about that this week, how nothing seems to faze him. So I'm going with Arizona 37, UCLA 34.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you in terms of this. Like, I could go either way. This is I think I've picked against Arizona almost every week, and I think I'm about to again. But I there's a part of me that thinks Arizona's going to win this game. I don't know. It just seems like everything's going in that direction. But I don't know. Josh Rosen is just so good, and Arizona struggled. They didn't struggle as much with the pass last week as the rush, but Josh Rosen scares me a little bit with a young secondary and a pass rush that's been inconsistent. So I have it at UCLA 42, Arizona 38, and again, I think it'll come down to the end.
Yeah, I mean, so it's a toss-up type game,
yeah,
right? I mean,
-2.
Yeah. Either way you look at it, 2-3-2 teams, both 1-1 in the pack, both kind of have their quarterbacks and their flaws. I got one for you, Zach. I got a prediction question.
Oh,
for you.
Okay.
Yeah, will Khalil Tate have more rushing yards or passing yards? Which of those two totals will be greater in this game?
Let me think. I'm gonna say rushing. I'm gonna say he gets in the 150 to 200 range, and maybe like close to that with pass. I think he might have around the same with both totals. I'll say. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna be interested to see you know, Rich Rod mentioned how they were running against, like, loaded boxes a lot against Colorado, and they just stuck with it, you know? That's kind of been their MO, their game plan. I like that, personally. Like, I feel like, hey, this is Arizona's identity. You know, we're going to be a running team no matter what you do, and we're just going to keep pounding away. If UCLA does that, I'll be interested to see if he trusts Khalil to put the ball in his hands as a passer, you know? Say, hey, you know, they're loading up, they're giving us one-on-ones downfield, let's take some shots. I mean, he showed great touch and timing and everything on that one deep ball to Tony Ellison. I mean, I would tend to, if I were betting, I would agree with you that he'll probably have more rushing yards than passing yards, but
it's possible.
You know, if he has an average passing game, he'd have to have a lot of rushing yards, you know, to top that total.
I mean, the biggest thing when Dawkins was in the game, that just the passing game just wasn't there. So if they can even just add the threat of it, which it seems like at least at the beginning of the game there will be the threat of it. Whether or not Khalil takes advantage of that, we'll find out. But yeah, that's gonna be.
Can I throw one more like over under number thing at you?
Yeah, sure. Who are you, me?
All right. Nick Wilson and J.J. Taylor, will they combine for more than 100 rushing yards?
Will they combine for it?
Which I believe has happened only once this season, which is really weird to think about.
Yeah, because the quarterbacks have kind of dominated the rushing attack. That's interesting.
And they split time, and Nick missed a couple games, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna say no on that. I just think Khalil is the running back right now, and they're kind of complementary, weirdly. At least that, based off the way last week went, he obviously won't rush for 300 again. But yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting that the way they switch them off. It seems like neither of them have been able to like break through like we thought they would in terms of rushing. So I'm gonna say no. What do you think?
I'm gonna say yes because I think UCLA is gonna pay so much attention to Khalil, and if he reads things correctly and gives the ball to those guys when he's supposed to, they should have some openings.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say they do. The only time that has happened is against Northern Arizona. And then, you know, Nick didn't play against Houston and then against UTEP, which was a weird game, obviously. They had 94 yards, 88 against Utah, and then 71 against Colorado.
Yeah.
Not enough. By the way, not enough.
No.
They need to be over 100 combined yards.
Oh yeah, I honestly think that if they have less, then they might lose this game. But I did predict them to lose this game, so it makes sense why I said that. But
gotta be consistent.
All right, I think that's a good time to end on. Of course, Michael will be covering the game with me tomorrow night. We're looking forward to it. Thanks for chatting, Michael.
Thank you, Zach.
All right, as mentioned earlier, here's my conversation from earlier this week with stud linebacker / defensive end, Kylan Wilborn, who's become one of Arizona's most interesting young talents. And, you know, he played against Khalil Tate in high school. He had some perspective from that and kind of talked about his dynamic with DeAndre Miller now that he's back from his injury. So here's that.
How's it going, man?
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Yourself?
Pretty good. So how you feeling going into the big game, obviously, this week? I mean, how you feeling going against UCLA? I'm sure you watched them a lot growing up.
Yeah, it's exciting. From LA, so it's a hometown team, so I'm really excited to go after them, so it should be fun.
Have the guys, I know this is your first year, but have the guys been talking about how, you know, they haven't beaten them under Rich Rod? I mean, is that a discussion?
That's been a talk. We've definitely talked about changing the culture in terms of going out there and getting our first win against them, so I'm really looking forward to helping that out.
So. Yeah. So with DeAndre Hurt, you obviously got maybe more playing time than you would have from the get-go. I mean, how much do you feel like that helped you being able to get thrown into the fire like that right away?
Thrown into the fire? it was cool. You know, it just helped me definitely. The game has gone slower every game, so that's one thing that's really helped. Just stuff like that. So it's pretty cool in terms of just getting a feel for the game and just understanding the strength of these tackles, these big Pac-12 tackles and stuff like that. So it's really cool to go out there, and I'm happy I got the experience that I did.
So I guess how much better do you feel right now compared to week one? Like, do you feel like you're a better player than...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm definitely getting stronger. I think I'm seeing things a lot more clearly in terms of formations and sets and stuff like that. So that's one thing that's really helping me. My body ain't feeling it, but it's cool. So it's all good.
So while DeAndre was hurt, I know a lot of guys talked about how he was still coaching you guys up. Yeah. I mean, what was your relationship like with him while he was on the sideline?
Well, I watched this dude just be in the weight room, just getting swole, just benching every day, just getting yoked. But no, he gave me good tips in terms of coverages and more than just understanding, okay, this is my job, this is what I have to do, but helping me understand the big like scheme of things in terms of like, okay, so this is what's going to happen when you do your job. You're helping these people behind you. So he was just explaining and telling me why it's important to do my job. So that was one thing that really helped me.
How exciting. I know you guys played your first game together this past week, but how exciting is it going forward that you have, you know, both of you guys can both bring a different look and pass rush?
Absolutely. It's helpful. I've been waiting for him all summer, so it's cool to finally be playing with him. He's gives me good tips when I come back from the sidelines. I try to help him out when he comes back to the sideline. We're always communicating. That's what's a big key. And it's just good. It gives the defense offense different looks, so it's pretty good.
With a quarterback like Josh Rosen, who if you guys give him an inch, you know, he'll make something happen. I mean, how important is it going to be to get some pressure on him?
It's going to be absolutely important. We got to get there. We got to cause mayhem in the backfield. We got to make it hard for him. That's our job. We're pass rushers. Yeah. So getting back there is going to be our biggest goal and just messing things up like we do. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
I know the defense had been playing really – you guys gave up like 40 points or whatever it was against Colorado. I mean, how do you – what did you see in that game? I guess what coming off of it, how are you feeling about the defense? And
I just don't think we were playing like ourselves. I don't think we were playing as good as we could have been. I think we just weren't prepared. Not prepared. It was just that we didn't come out ready to play. So I think this Saturday we'll be definitely ready to go out there and play. So
yeah. And what was it like seeing Khalil do what he did the other day?
And to be honest, it wasn't that surprising because I've played against him in high school.
Oh, you played against him?
Oh, yeah. He's in my league. I played him every year.
Okay, cool.
Every year. So my senior year was the only year I didn't have to go against him. And this dude would do stuff like he's doing, like he just did all the time on us. Five touchdowns, running for 300. That's Khalil. That's the Khalil I know. So
like, do you remember anything he did against you, like in particular, like when you played against him?
I remember it was 4th and inches. My junior year, 4th and inches, we're all thinking QB sneak. We all pinch together, crowd him, take him on. We're like, oh, where'd he go? And then he just backs out, reverses field, runs like 10 yards in the backfield and goes 60 yards.
Which they literally like backed up. And
yeah. Wow. Just literally went, backed out, reverse field, and went 60 to the house. And we were like, it was 4th and inches. And he took a mile. So
is he the type of guy that, like, when you see you have Sarah on your schedule, you're like, oh, we have to play Khalil Tate this year kind of thing? Like, was he well known around the area?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We knew he was a little scramble quarterback. We knew. Had to keep a spy on him. But, yeah, he did his thing in high school, and we tried to stop him. So that was definitely it.
For sure. All right, man. All right, thanks so much.
Appreciate talking to you. Yeah.
All right, that'll do it. Thanks for listening. I'd like to thank Zach Clark for stopping in, and Justin Spears, and Michael Lev, and you know, be sure to follow us all on Twitter. We're going to be covering the game tomorrow, as always. Michael Lev, myself, follow the at Wildcaster, follow at Zach Blatt, follow at Michael J. Lev, follow at G Hansen 711, and download the Wildcaster app, subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasting app or Google Play, and check back at Tucson.com for all of our content tomorrow. Thanks again.